Is Pierre McGuire, of course, who joins us each and every week morning at this time. A presentation of the Myers Automotive Group. How are you doing this morning, Pierre?
Well, JR, good morning. Hello, Sean.
Good morning, Pierre. Do you know which trophy they're awarding for which series, Pierre, by any chance?
No idea.
No idea. Of course you don't. Yeah. Do you know what series you're going to be broadcasting?
I am. I'm heading to Vegas on Sunday morning.
Okay. Well, you got now are you going to be traveling to Montreal?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And so you as broadcasters or whatever, you're kind of you're in as far as quarantines and
In a bubble, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Even in Vegas, we're in a bubble.
If I were to say to you, just from a purely, you enjoy the broadcast part of it which of the two series would you prefer if either to broadcast?
Doing the game at this time of the year is just a privilege. It's an honor, so I don't really care. I mean, they're both really good series. They're going to be different types of series. I think Islanders will try to make their series extremely physical. I think Vegas will try to make their series a little bit more physical as well because of the way Montreal plays. The problem is, if Vegas plays reckless with the puck, they were turnover machines last night. They were lucky to win that game, by the way. But if they turn the puck over like they did last night, they could be in trouble against Montreal. So they're going to have to change some things in their game. But two different types of series, for sure.
Ultimately, what allowed Vegas to turn around the series? They were down 2-0 and won 4 in a row. Ultimately, what do you think was the reason they were able to do that?
There are a few reasons, JR. Number one, Fleury was good. He wasn't great last night, but he was good through most of the series. So that made a difference, especially after game one, obviously, where Robin Leonard didn't have a very good game and the team didn't have a very good game in front of him. But I would say that Fleury's play was enhanced. The defense of Vegas is really good in terms of moving the puck, and they've got they do it by committee through the middle, and their middle was really good, mostly Chandler Stephenson and William Karlsson and Nick Roy, and a little bit of Patrick Brown. Last night it was Keegan Kolesar who had a big goal, but their center ice play was very good as well.
Did they have not only the defense of Colorado a little nervous, but also some of the wall play there look like, hey, at the end of the day, Colorado a little scared on the forecheck?
Well, I don't know about scared, but they weren't nearly as effective as they needed to be for sure on the boards. I mean, the big thing with Vegas, they're a big team, and they are very good on the boards, but they're also good in transition because they're pretty slick through the middle in terms of speed. So that's one of the things that Montreal's going to have to pay attention to, but I know they thrived in their series with Winnipeg, taking the middle of the ice away from Winnipeg, so I think that was important, and it'll have to be important again in Vegas as well, but the board play is something that Vegas is really good at.
We all emphasize, Pierre, so much the importance of center ice play, and I don't think you look at Vegas and you go, like, they're, you know, William Karlsson's good, real good player, and Chandler Stephenson, good player, but you wouldn't necessarily put them at the top of the NHL. How are they able to do it when they don't necessarily have elite center ice?
They skate really well, number one. And then, number two, their defense is outstanding. So they get real good goaltending, they get real good defense, and it insulates their center ice play. They don't have elite center icemen. They don't have the guys that jump off the page and say, look at me, I'm dominant. No, they don't, but they do it by committee, and their system is really smart in terms of how they play in their own zone. So it insulates their center icemen as well.
Do you think people are getting a little carried away that they're going to blow the doors off the Montreal Canadiens?
Yeah, I would never say that. And I think the biggest thing is, again, Montreal, if they play the proper way in the neutral zone, they could cause a lot of problems for Vegas. Again, I know a lot of people like to look at, especially with the late games from the West, they look at the scoreboard rather than watch the game. I understand you got to work the next day. But if you watch that game, Vegas was okay in that game last night. They weren't great. They turned the puck over way too much. And if they do that against Montreal, they're going to have a problem.
What if you look at, and Ryan Reeves, of course, was suspended early in the series and then ended up sitting out a couple of games ago. He sat last night. I'm not saying he's a key player for Vegas, but would a player like that have less or more impact, do you think, in a series against Montreal?
Oh, no, he could have impact, huge impact, especially going after the big defenseman of Montreal, whether it's Ben Chiarot, whether it's Shea Weber, if Petrie's back in the lineup. They go after the big guys. That's where that line is so effective. Last night it was Keegan Kolesar playing center between Ryan Reeves and Will Carrier. That line is amazingly effective on the forecheck, unbelievably effective, and they can go right after that defense. If they soften those guys up just a little bit, because obviously Weber's not 100%, Petrie's not 100%, you know, there are lots of nicks. If those guys go down for Montreal, that's when Montreal will have a problem. So that's something to pay attention to. He could have a big impact on this series, talking about Ryan Reeves.
I think we're all big Colorado fans and respect the way they built the club. Pierre, if you were to look at it, kind of big picture, are they a little too small on the back end if you were to address one area?
I think they're not structured enough in their own zone. Okay. They weren't in this series, I can tell you that. They were running around all over the place, and they're going to have to figure that out internally. I think they need to upgrade their 5-6 position with Connor Timmins and Patrick Nemeth. I think they need to upgrade that. But I would say, by and large, that's a well-built team. I wasn't there doing the series. I was watching it from afar, but that is not the Colorado team I saw through most of the year, Sean. I can tell you that. I did a lot of their games this year, both in Colorado and on the road, and also from the studio, and I can tell you that that team was really good the entire year. And then to see what I saw in this playoff series, I was like, whoa, that's not the team I saw.
Is that credit to what Vegas was doing or what Colorado wasn't doing?
Combination, I think, JR. It's a great question. I think it's a combination. I never saw them run around in their own zone like they were, for good point. I saw games where they were giving up 14, 16, 18 shots in a game. Last night they only gave up 23 because, I didn't think Vegas played a really great game last night. They were good enough to win, but I didn't think they were great. But I think the biggest thing is, I just saw them not play as well or as structured as what I saw during the regular season. And for Vegas, they're a hard team to play against because of what Sean talked about before, the board play, and their end zone coverage is really good.
But does that not point to kind of my point, Pierre? They know how to play with structure, but when all of a sudden the physicality came, that led to the carelessness, which generally has you back on your heels. And if you don't want to use the term scare, but hey, they lost their composure. Would you agree?
I'm not going to take that away from you, but I didn't think they were scared. I would never say that about an NHL player.
Philip Grubauer, unrestricted free agent. Gabriel Landeskog, unrestricted free agent. Brandon Saad, good player, UFA. Mm-hmm. Cale Makar, RFA. So Joe Sakic has his work cut out for him. And there isn't a ton of cap space. There's some, but not a ton. Is he going to use this summer potentially? I'm not talking about a giant makeover, but looking at now falling twice in a row in the second round and saying, I need to do a little bit more than a tweak here.
I think they're going to be really proactive, 100%. I think they'll be super proactive. One of the things that has to happen, they got to get Newhook going. He's too good a player to only be playing 6, 7, 8 minutes a game. I mean, they got to get him in the lineup, and I think they'll make room for him. But I think internally they still have so much organizational depth, it's scary. Bowen Byram's got to be an everyday player for them. I know he was battling a lot of stuff with COVID and injuries this year, but he's got to become an everyday player. I think internally they have some of the answers. They don't have it all. But it'll be the one contract to really pay attention to is Landeskog and what they do with him. I think that's going to be very interesting.
Whenever a team loses, maybe a little bit earlier than expected, the coach comes under the microscope as well. Do you think that will happen in Colorado?
Well, I think they'll do a thorough evaluation of everything there. Yeah, I think they're really disappointed. So I would imagine that they're going to do a thorough evaluation of everything.
Did Nazem Kadri cost him the series? And I don't mean getting rid of him, but simple fact that if he was in there, that could have been the difference?
Well, we talked about it the other day. There was a chance in overtime in Game 5 where JT Compher got the puck in the slot, and he made a good play, but he shot it, and Fleury made an unbelievable save. Now, if that's Kadri, I don't know if that is going in or not, but I like the chances of it going in with him being in there in that position. But, it's hard to predict, but Naz would have made a difference, I think, in a positive way for them.
Montreal played their big four in defense a lot in terms of the amount of minutes. Given how physical Vegas can be and is that something that that Vegas might try to take advantage of in terms of just being super physical with the four and maybe try to tire them out?
I think that's a real good point, and I think you're going to see a lot of that, JR. I really do. Ryan, you talked about Ryan Reeves before. I think he and Will Carey are going to cause some problems. Keegan Kolasar's a big guy that can really move. Patrick Brown's not shy. I mean, they got a lot of big bodies that can get after you. Alex Tuck is another one of those guys. Stone is not shy. Pacioretty will skate you into the ice, not so much hit you into the ice, but he'll skate you into the ice. So they got a lot of guys with some size that can really cause some damage.
Montreal and Vegas, both veteran teams, but what is this going to be like, almost like a heavyweight fight or, I don't know, middle heavyweight in the sense of you haven't played each other all year? Is it tactically going to take a little time to feel each other out, a little different than years past?
Well, Vegas doesn't do that at home. They go right on the attack. That's the one thing when you play in Vegas, because of the crowd noise and the energy, they go right on the attack immediately. So I think that's something that Montreal will have to get ready for. And now if Montreal can take away some of that attack by structuring up the neutral zone or structuring up their own zone and making sure that they can't get to the net, talking about Vegas, then maybe they take some of the energy out of the building. But that's the one thing Montreal is going to have to deal with. They haven't played in any building that's like this entire year, and that's going to be different for them. I can tell you that. I mean, Vegas is a different animal. It really is. It's you know, again, I've done a lot of games there, including a Stanley Cup final. And it's rambunctious, let's put it that way.
And to that, Pierre, if you're a Montreal Canadian, are you not prepared for that? Because I'll also say that atmosphere in Montreal might be the best in the National Hockey League.
It is, but the problem is they haven't had it this year.
Yeah, but all the players that have played, for the most part, have been through
it. Well, there's some of their key guys. I can tell you right now, Cole Caulfield's never played a game in front of a full fan base there. Tyler Toffoli never has. I mean, you can look at it. Romanov hasn't. So I think it's a bit different. I really do. So this has been a unique year. I can tell you, the teams that played in front of fans for good portions of the year, I think have a distinct advantage over the teams that have not played in front of fans.
All right, fair point. The other series will begin on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, the Islanders and Tampa. You mentioned the fact that you think the Islanders are going to make it into a very physical series, or at least try to. Tampa Bay upgraded their team last year, Pierre, and a lot of credit from a lot of people for them winning the championship came to the fact that they were able to kind of stand up to other teams. So do you think the Islanders are going to be able to physically dominate the Lightning in this series?
I don't know about dominate, but they're going to get physical with them. They're not shy. I mean, they went after Pittsburgh. They went after Boston. They handled that really well. I think they dominated the physical side of it in both of those series. And I think they'll try to with Tampa. The problem is Tampa pushes back because their role players, whether it's Yanni Gord or whether it's Blake Coleman, whether it's Barkley Goudreau, their Alex Killorn is a real physical guy. I mean, you look at their depth players, they're not shrinking violets at all. So I think that's going to cause some problems for the Islanders. But again, everybody discounts the Islanders all the time. I think that Barry Trotz always finds a way to elevate his team's play, and I think that's something to watch for, the coaching matchup, because Barry Trotz is a tremendously talented coach. Not saying John Cooper isn't. I just don't know if he does the same kind of structural stuff over the course of a game that can influence a game the way that Barry Trotz can.
On the Tampa side, hey, you're into round three. Big story has been your goalie. Do you also feel at the same time Tampa Bay has a little more to offer where they can still elevate play-wise?
Well, they can. There's no question. And that's something, again, we talked about this over the first two rounds. I didn't think Tampa played too many A games, especially in the Florida series. I didn't think they played a lot of A games at all. They might have played one A game. And then in the next round against Carolina, probably their best game was their last game, game five. So I would just say that they've got room to grow. The Islanders have played extremely well the entire playoff. They've been so consistent the entire playoff.
Tampa's power play is killer.
Yes.
Are the Islanders disciplined enough to not take a lot of penalties?
That'll be strong. I'm sure when they do do their pre-scout and they have their team meetings about how they're going to play Tampa, then the first thing they'll probably say is discipline, and they'll repeat discipline a bunch in the meeting. They can't if they take penalties, they're going to be in trouble. They won't win the series. If they take three or more penalties in a game, I highly doubt that they'll win the series.
As Trotsky did say, they are one of the least penalized teams, so the discipline and structure is there.
That's 100% true the year.
Yeah. J.G. Pageau is the little hungry dog on the T-bone that you sick on the opposing player's best center. Is that Braden Point? Like, is that the matchup you think the Islanders would look for?
I would imagine that will be a big part of their matchup, trying to take Point out of it early, because he does drive the bus in a lot of situations, especially off the rush. And that's where I think Pageau is so good. His transition defense in the neutral zone is phenomenal. It really is. That's the one thing, if you're not at the game, it's hard to see it. When you're at the game and you watch how he angles and how he plays away from the puck, it's pretty impressive. It's actually very impressive. So I would imagine that that's probably one of the matchups he'll try to establish.
In attacking that, would Lou look back to some of the New Jersey teams? And I'm not going to say Bobby Holik because of the size, but are we talking about the Breelands of the world or guys that Lou had in New Jersey that said, hey, we know this is exactly what Pageau can give us along with a little more offense?
Yeah, I would say yes. I think that's a very good point, and I would agree with that 100%. The one thing that Coach Lamoriello has shared with me about J.G. Pageau is he's blown away by his intensity, and he really respects his hockey sense. And he said that to me numerous times. He's not really into superlatives very much when it comes to talking about guys. He'd rather talk about their off-ice behavior than their on-ice play. But that's the one thing I can tell you. He's a huge fan of J.G. Pasch.
Could I get maybe even just a golf clap for sliding into Sergey Brelin on a Friday?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Well, the biggest
most listeners are like, who the F is that?
He's actually an assistant coach. Sergey Brelin works down in Binghamton. By the way, a very long time and loyal listener to your show. His name is Stu Hackle. He used to work in the NHL office.
Yes.
He just sent me a text. Saying the Wales and Campbell trophies will not be presented this year.
There we go.
There you go. There's the answer to the question.
Say hi to Stu. Used to see him at the games all the time.
Well,
good
he's
guy.
Listening, so you can say hi.
Awesome. Hi, Stu.
Hi, Stu. Well, we don't have to worry about whether guys are going to touch the trophies now, whoever ends up winning these conference championships. That's all good. Okay, let's touch on a couple of other issues, and we'll let you go. Get into your weekend. We'll start with the coaching decision in Columbus.
Yeah.
Fairly unheralded name. Brad Larsen used to play in the league, won a cup with Colorado.
Drafted by the Ottawa Senators,
by the way. Yeah. Been an assistant in Columbus for the last 7 years. Why do you think they went in this direction?
I think it's a rebuild, and I think they know it, and they want to build the coach along with the product that they have. He'll do a good job. He's an honorable, hardworking guy, and I think it's just one of those where they want the coach to grow with the program. But I think more than anything else, it's a rebuild.
So they interviewed both Rick Tocchet and Gerard Gallant, among others, who you know, been interviewed by all the teams. Would that have been more of a, you know, because those are high-profile guys, would that have been more of a cursory interview? Because if at the end of the day it's a rebuild and you think they're going in this direction with going unheralded because it's a rebuild, why bother even interviewing these guys?
Well, because you pick people's brains and you find out different ideologies, and you can get a lot of information. You can get a ton of information about the league, about systems, about different players through these interviews. That's why a lot of times and I don't know what Sean's experience is, but I can tell you a lot of times, a lot of these interviews are fact-finding, and they want information, and it helps a lot. You can get a lot of information for free. Let's put it this way, for the cost of a plane ticket.
Yeah, no, people want to express and almost give you everything or tell you everything. On Brad Larsen, I won't say on the cheap, but as you said, as you go into development and basically bringing in a coach to teach, does this make a lot more sense than necessarily giving $3-5 million to a Gerard Gallant?
Yeah, no, I think that's part of the process there. And again, it doesn't mean that they're not going to be good, but I think they're going into a different phase of their development right now as a group.
What do you make of Kirk Muller going to work under Daryl Sutter in Calgary?
I think it's great. I'm happy for him. I didn't like the way he was treated in Montreal, but I think it's really good. I'm glad that he landed on his feet, and that I'll tell you one thing. They'll play hard hockey. I don't know how good they'll be, but I think they'll play hard hockey.
What in particular about Kirk Muller makes him, in your opinion, a good coach, I guess?
Yeah, he communicates really well with the players. I watched him a lot in practices over time, and communicates well, works on faceoffs a lot. He's never really down. He's always positive. But I think like the way he communicates with his players.
Can he also be a buffer between Sutter? Because he is a great guy.
Yeah,
and
then
at the end of the day,
it
gets a little old after a while, and Kurt's just one of the boys at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think he'll make the players a little bit more comfortable around the dressing room when they get to game 45 or game 52 or whatever over an 82-game schedule. And the head coach is mad at them. He'll loosen the guys up for sure.
All right, last one. They announced the Hart Trophy finalists yesterday. Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid, Nate McKinnon. Did they get it right, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think they did.
Anybody else? Anybody else?
Ballot, that's what I had.
Okay. Anybody else close on your list, or who is close?
I did. I had Marchand and Crosby close on my list.
Okay. All right. Okay. On that note, we will let you. You will let you get into your weekend, as we mentioned. Not much of a weekend. You got some homework to do, and you're heading out to Vegas. So we're going to be talking to you very. They're 3 hours behind us this time of year,
hours,
right? Yeah. So we're going to talk to you. You're going to be early.
That's good.
Yeah.
We're quarantined, so it's okay.
That's true. Okay, all good. Enjoy the weekend. Safe travels out to Vegas. Look forward to talking to you from there. It'll be game one on Monday night. Thanks for the time, and have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah, thanks so much. Take care of yourself, Sean. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy your family and friends. Stay safe.